Thank you, Louise, for joining me. Louise from New South Wales. And that's all we're going to say about that, isn't it, Louise? We're not going to give any more information
than that. Oh, I don't mind if we, you know, I might mention where we live, but it's because it's a pretty great place, but, you know.
Yes,
I won't go too much into it.
Yes. So New South Wales, maybe we're just biased. We just like New South Wales. Not that we've – I haven't lived anywhere else, so I don't really know. Okay, well, let's get into it. Okay, so – Louise, where did you grow up?
Western Sydney.
Whereabouts? So,
we were first in the Fairfield area, and then later, I think when I was 10, we moved to the Camden area. So we had 5 acres out there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I know where Camden is. I used to go to Teen Ranch.
There you go. Yeah.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I think my husband used to go to Teen Ranch, actually.
Oh, wow. And my twin sister used to work there.
Oh, yeah, I know a few people that worked there as well.
Yeah, best years of my childhood were there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I like Camden Cobbetty area. It's very pretty.
Yeah. We were looking
quite built up now, isn't it?
Is it more built up? Yeah. Yeah, very built up now. Crazy when we went back there. Very different. 5 acres.
Ooh, that would have been nice. So how many kids were in your family? Like, what's your family set up?
We had, just mum and dad and 4 kids. Pretty close-knit family, I guess. Like, I'm very close to my siblings, or especially my sisters. We all get along very well. It was fun.
Do you still get along pretty well?
Yeah. I mean, we probably fought more at home, but we get along really, really well now. Yeah.
Gosh, what siblings didn't fight? What family didn't fight?
Oh, yeah, you know, I didn't actually fight. We only fought with the ones that were next in age to each other. So I was the eldest, so I only fought with the one below. I didn't fight with the other two. Nice. And the middle ones fought with the ones on either side. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, cool. And what about schooling? Did you go to a public school or private school or homeschool?
Private school. So one school, K-12, just sort of a small independent Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked school. I think our family was close-knit, but also like my parents were not in a very happy marriage, so home was like a little stressful, I guess. Mm-hmm. A bit cranky, a bit yelling, a bit inconsistent. So school was very much just like I went there and suddenly there was just like zero thinking required. It was just like you got given something, you did it. People were like, well done, give you a sticker and tell you you're amazing. And it was just like very, very easy, very flattering place to be.
Sounds like it was pretty consistent, whereas home may not have been consistent.
Yeah, like I think you never sort of knew what mood mum was going to be in. So I think like I just used to spend probably about like 1.5 hours on the toilet after school every afternoon just reading a book, because like you couldn't get in trouble for being on the toilet because that's okay. But like if I was reading and then she decided like I should be doing some kind of job, then I'll get yelled at. So I was like, I always just used to tuck away in the toilet. I don't know if that's like a bit of a sad story, but anyway, it didn't seem sad at the time. School was just really black and white, I guess. Yeah.
And did you stay all the way through high school at that school?
Yeah.
And did you like the social side of school?
Yeah, it was. I think I had most of my proper friends were from church. So school, like I certainly got on with people there, but I didn't really make very many lasting friendships. The only ones I still speak, like I married, my husband is, like we were in the same kindergarten class together. Yeah, it is cute. Yeah. Never in any classes after that, but only kindergarten. But he was really bad at school and I was like a good student, so we didn't hang out at all. But yeah, later on, I now hang out with his friends from school and girls in that grade who I wasn't friends with really at school, but now I am. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I had lasting friendships socially from school.
But no adverse experiences in school, like no bullying or anything like that?
Not really, no.
Okay, school was good?
Yeah.
So good experience in school.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So after high school, what happened then with your life? Where did you travel? Did you go to uni?
I went to uni straight away. I studied speech pathology at start. I found uni really hard. I actually found year 11 and 12 was fairly hard. And then I found uni even harder. And I think maybe it was because, like, I was sort of in primary, like, I was the ducks of the school. And I was also old for my year. I was just, like, everything was so easy that all the way up till year 10, I think school just kind of felt like a teacher would stand out the front and I would sort of listen, but I knew what they were going to say. So it's like I never learned to actually listen and learn. I just sort of listen like, oh, yeah, I know that. Like, and so I think year 11 and 12, I was just, it was suddenly like there was this, you actually had to learn like a whole clump of stuff and it was new and I didn't even know how to like take notes or listen or anything. So I like started struggling and then, yeah, uni was obviously all just lectures and notes and stuff. And so I think, though I didn't realize it at the time, I think school probably didn't prepare me very well for uni.
Actually learning.
Like I could, if somebody told me, if the lecturer had said, take these notes, I want this many notes of this many paper in this amount of time, I could have done that. But nobody told you that. So yeah, I didn't know how to do that kind of stuff. Self-motivate. Yeah.
And for people who don't know, speech pathology has got a lot of anatomy in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, like more than just anatomy. It goes quite into neuroscience and it's quite,
it's the brain, it's the anatomy of the mouth and it's the palate and
And if you miss like the first three lectures and don't keep up, you then fall just like further and further behind every single time. And I was falling behind by the way. Yeah.
How long ago was this that you did speech?
I don't know. Goodness. That's some math. Finished school 2004.
It's a long time ago. And back then you could only do it at about three unis. And they were very tough unis as well to get into.
Yeah. It was very full on. You didn't, and it wasn't like I had other, friends who are in uni doing other courses and they could sort of choose the courses they would like to do, electives and stuff like that. Speech pathology was very much like, no, we've chosen these eight courses for you per semester, you are doing these. So it was, in a sense, not much freedom again, but different to school in that, like, no one told you when the classes were on, when the assignments were due. You sort of had to go and look all that stuff up and I decided I never knew what was going on. I sort of finished early with like a hearing and speech degree, which is like a lesser one, so I didn't have to do the final year, and then because I wanted to change to primary teaching because that just seemed like it was heaps easier, and got a lot of holidays, so yeah, I changed to primary teaching.
Okay, so did you do a master's
it's called a master's. It was like the easiest thing I've ever seen in uni. I haven't seen that much in uni, but it was really easy. Just like this extra year tacked onto compared to speech pathology, it was very easy. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a qualified primary school teacher.
I am, yes.
Okay. Yes. Awesome. So how did you get into homeschooling then? Let's stop because that's the obvious question that always pops into my head. But let's go back a little bit before you started homeschooling. How you said you were married. How many kids have you got?
I've got 3 kids.
Mm-hmm. Their ages?
Ages 3, 5, and 6.
3, 5, and 6. Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you always know that you were going to homeschool, or did you think my kids are just going to go to school? Because
Definitely they were going to go to school. So we had my eldest is sort of that age where you can choose kindergarten, which year they start kindy in. So from the very earliest, we had him in prep. He was going to go to the school that we both went to. And so, yeah, we put him in the prep thing 2 days a week. I guess, like, after that, for other, like, completely unrelated reasons, we decided to get out of Sydney just because of my husband, you know, full job, and it was really under the pump in Sydney, and we were like, oh, we want to get out. So we just decided that any job he got that was outside of Sydney, we would say yes to and move. And I suppose in that time, we've sort of had plenty of reasons to consider homeschooling, and the final one to tip us over the edge was the fact that we were going to be travelling and moving around a lot. But we can get into the stuff that sort of, the other reasons as well. I suppose we'll cover those with other stuff,
So you wanted to, how old were your kids when you decided you wanted to travel?
So the eldest had just finished prep. So he could have started kindergarten the next year, but the prep teacher had, I'd said, oh, what do you think, should he start, or should he
such a hard question, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway, she was like, oh yeah, I would recommend he goes to prep again. And I was like, oh good, well that's easy, like we don't have to put him in school. So we're like, we didn't have school to consider yet, we got the job offer and we're like, all right, let's just go. And so we went,
and this is when you went you left Sydney for this job.
Yeah.
So he had been to prep in Sydney, and then you decided, let's get out of Sydney.
Yeah.
You can have another year in prep.
Cancelled the enrollment and said, I didn't even cancel it. I said, oh, just put it off for a year, like we might be back, kind of thing. But we weren't,
So in between that time of you moving out of Sydney and you deciding to do one more year of prep, what made you want to not put him in the following year? To actually put him in school,
I think the first thing that would have made me consider it is I had a sister-in-law, so she's Jack's elder sister, that homeschools 6 kids, and I know 6 kids.
She needs a medal, man. 6 kids.
She does and it just looked really nice, like they just do a lot of things together, and I didn't particularly want to do it with 6 kids, but they were just a really lovely family, and the stuff that they focused on was just helping out each other and being kind to each other, and I was like, oh, that's a nice way to do life. Like it's the focus is not really on education, and I think at that point, because we had moved and I was like, oh, do we want to sort of, and we weren't sure where we'd be after that, I thought, do we want to put him in kindy, then take him out the next year and put him in another school? Like that's just, might be a bit disruptive. And then I started thinking about primary teaching and what I had learned as a primary teacher, and sort of came to the realization that I didn't really even agree with the school system. Like it just had so many areas that needed work, or what weren't really what I wanted for my kids, which is strange. Like I always just sort of enjoyed it while I was there. Obviously, you observe and you make opinions and stuff like that, but I think, yeah, just thinking about it when you think about your own kids, it just gets a bit more serious, yeah.
Well, I mean, for some people, they have no problem with school. I mean, for example, when I interviewed my twin sister, she did not enjoy school. So
enjoy school?
She didn't enjoy school at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you enjoyed school, and you were a primary school teacher, so you probably thought, well, there's, you know, that's your chosen career. You probably thought, well, school is great. And it wasn't until your sister-in-law saw this homeschooling family, thought, hey, that it sort of put it into your mind that there's other ways to do it, and it's kind of nice. And oh, maybe you could do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
School is good for some people, but it is nice to know that there's always an alternative.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, I loved school, but then I thought it doesn't mean it was the best thing for me, because like as I sort of said, there was, you know, I'm sure I learned plenty at school. Like I still remember lots of things that I learned at school, but just the way that it taught me to learn, which it didn't really teach me to learn. Like it just, you can see that there were problems for me, even though I was sort of like a straight A student who loved school. Still may not have been the best way of going about it. I suppose you just find the good in everything. Like it's not really, there's probably no one best way for anyone really. You just make the best of what you can do at the time, I think.
Well, someone could make the argument that you succeeded. You completed year 12 and your HSC, and you went to uni and you got your education. So that's a success story.
Yeah. Oh, somebody could see it that way. Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to any of my uni graduations because I didn't actually feel proud. I didn't feel like I had put in the effort. It was just like it meant nothing to me to go up there and get that certificate. I was like, oh, I just sort of come here and scraped along, and the primary teaching one just seemed really, really effortless. And I was like, I don't think I really put much work into this. I didn't feel like a sense of achievement or anything. Whereas I think, other parts of life, I have felt like, I remember at church, I was kind of thrown into this role of taking on like managing, directing, running a kids club in the holidays. And it was pretty big. Like I was managing probably like 60 church helpers, and we'd have probably about 100 kids that would come, and I was doing all sorts of things like props and things and designing the sets and writing the plays and managing the actors in the directing the plays and organizing all these activities and everything. And it was huge for me because I was sort of only just out of uni at that time. I hadn't really done anything that I'd felt really was very worthwhile before. And I did. It's funny, like I didn't really want to go and collect a certificate, a graduation certificate after uni, but going up on stage and getting the little bunch of flowers that the church gave me as a thank you, I felt like a massive sense of achievement. So I think, I don't know what it is, doing something that you're really invested in is, I don't know how to explain that, but yeah.
I wouldn't know how to explain that either. I mean, maybe perhaps because uni is such an expected norm in our society that that's what you do. So then why should we get a pat on the back just for doing what's expected of us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like why would you, you know, graduating year six, why would you get like a huge celebration party? I mean, we do sort of do that for kids, don't we? But maybe the kids it's just another year, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, maybe has just become the norm. Because I'm the same. I didn't go to my graduation because I was just like, what? It's just 3 years of uni. Like,
And
just every subsequent sort of thing that I've achieved through uni, it's like, well, I don't think it's a big deal. It's just some courses that I'm doing, you know. Yeah. But as opposed to other people, that's a huge sense of achievement, but there could be a lot behind that. They could be the first generation to go to university, you know. They could,
yeah,
you know, I don't, you know, maybe, I don't know what it is, but it's interesting that, you know, you did this thing through church that wasn't
wasn't expected of you, and you had no formal training or education, and you got through it and you did it and you did a good job, and that's what gave you the sense of achievement. It's like, I've done something that I wasn't expected to do, and I did it well, and I don't have any formal training on how to do this. I'm not a manager or a supervisor, and you did it, you know, you did a good job. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that. Okay. So you decided to give homeschooling a shot?
Yeah.
And how was it at first?
Well, actually, if I'm going to be honest, the first year,
I'll be very honest.
I would say it's complete failure the first year. I sort of, like, we had just moved, and I was like, oh, you know, he's not really in kindy, but he could be. So let's just, like, make this a trial homeschooling run. We can just see what it's like. And it was like, well, I had a 1-year-old at the time that did not sleep. So I was a wreck physically. My head was cloudy and foggy. Like I had all these health problems because I just was so run down. And so that was, you know, an extremely big part of why I was such a failure. But and I was sort of always in the room with this kid trying to get him to sleep. The other ones were just sort of left around the house making their own peanut butter sandwiches and watching TV, and that's pretty much like all I remember of that year. And and then also, like, anything that we started to do that was sort of, I guess, in my head, schooly, that was sort of sitting down and working on stuff or reading or doing letter practice or anything like that, was just like, my eldest kid just hated it. So, like, he just fought me on everything. And probably he was just too young. And, like, I hadn't sort of researched the best sort of methods for young kids. And really at that age, I think it would have just been, he was just ready for play, not for sitting down doing anything official. So, yeah, I guess that first year kind of just felt like, what am I doing? Like, I can't do this.
Did you feel guilty? Because, I mean, that's, you know, at that age, it's such a young age, and you've got three very young kids, and this is basically equivalent to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Sounds like what most people would be doing for homeschooling their first. But did you feel a sense of guilt that he should be learning more, or?
Occasionally.
Were you too tired to be guilty?
I was going to say, yeah, probably just too tired to feel anything. I was just, yeah, trying to, I honestly, all I thought about was, like, the next hour I could get some sleep. Like, that was all I thought about. So
what stopped you from putting him in school? You were exhausted. You probably thought, oh my gosh, if I could just put him in school, then I could rest more. I could have more me time. What stopped you from putting him in school?
Well, I didn't think I would get more rest time because I'd still have the other two. And really it was the youngest one that was the worst. And actually Flynn was quite helpful. So I was like, oh, you know what? That's not really going to be the answer to my problems. Also, we were moving again. So that was another issue that we sort of reconsidered homeschooling again. And I guess I started reading more about it, asking more questions from people I knew who homeschooled. I hadn't really met many other than my sister-in-law, but I had talked to a couple who I'd sort of seen over Facebook and things like that. In the holidays, I randomly at our beach holiday, like the beach mission, there was a beach mission team there, and talked to a lady, and like we were moving to Canberra, and I talked to this lady, and she's like, oh, we're from Canberra. And I'm like, oh, cool, we're just moving there in like 2 days. And she said, I think she's asked something about school, and I said, oh no, I think we're gonna try homeschooling. She's like, oh, I homeschool my kid. And
no way. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so she's kind of hooked me up with some people down in Canberra who were closer to where we'd be living. And yeah, so I kind of got chatting before we even properly started or anything. right at the start of the year, and I just started to feel more comfortable about it. And that's, yeah, I think when I started to think about being a teacher and just what, like watching the kids in my year two class, how much they progressed from the beginning of the year to the end, and in so many different ways and in so many different areas that I barely touched on. And I thought, do you know what, kids really are just going to learn. And when I looked at Flynn, that everything, like I had literally had a year of nothing, like he was just neglected. And when I looked at what he'd learned from the beginning, yeah, I'm not going to say like positive.
I'm married to a police officer, so I know what neglect looks like.
Yeah. Anyway, don't
use that word. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, mummy. You weren't neglecting. You were just free range. That's all.
Yeah, free range.
Free learning.
I was surviving.
Yeah, you were surviving. Yeah.
Anyway, when I looked at sort of how much he progressed just from the start to the end, pretty much left to his own devices and playing, and that was about it. And how much he kind of progressed in that 1 year of me doing nothing, really. It was playing. Quite a lot. Yeah, just through playing. And I'm like, well, you know what? Even if all we get around to is playing and feeding the kids and working on having a kind, loving family, I think I'd be happy with that. That's my very minimum, bare minimum that I want to achieve. And if anything past that is a bonus, then great. Yeah, when I looked at the kindergarten syllabus, he pretty much was sort of meeting all that. So I was like, you know what, we've got to use like leeway here. He's pretty much there already. So let's just go with it. And I think, well, once I relaxed and just kind of looked at how to introduce learning through play and what the kids were already interested in, things just settled down and turned into a routine. And this year hasn't really been a failure, as far as I'm going to judge myself, yeah.
And you just moved again, didn't you?
We did, yeah. So we moved to Canberra
for 2 months. Didn't you?
Yeah.
So how long were you in Canberra for?
Oh, only 2 months.
Okay, and then you moved to Canberra.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, it's we moved to sort of mid-north coast area, and that is just a really beautiful place. That's a job that Jack wanted up here the year before, but his company didn't get it. Then he kind of got offered the job from another company who did get the job, and he was like, oh, do you know what? Like, I just said no straight away. Like, when he's like, oh, I got a call today, I'm like, no. We just moved. But when we thought about it, we're like, oh, it's a place where we think we'd like to raise our kids, and even if we don't live here, at least we can try it out and see what we think of it, and it's a good opportunity. So we decided to pack up and move here. And it's lovely here, yeah.
It is. Canberra's pretty awesome because it's got lots of culture and educational things. It's, but the
amount of things you
can. Town, which is beautiful.
Yeah. Canberra, great for homeschooling. Like, it's got so many things you can take kids to, and drama things and art things. Like, it's just full of... or Questacon, that's really cool. But yeah, out here this kind of suits us a lot more. We're kind of pretty relaxed, free rangey kind of people, and that's yeah, really what the area is like.
So what does your typical day look like now? Your typical homeschooling day with the kids? A week. Maybe not just a day. Yeah. That's maybe too narrow. But what about a week? What kind of things, typical things would you do in your week?
So in a week, like our set days where we've got something on, like we'd have we have a play group on a Wednesday, a homeschool meetup on a Thursday, which is like a social thing at a beach or a park, something like that. Just little athletics on Friday. So they're our, like, probably a library put in there somewhere, but not every week. And then I guess the other days we just work around. We generally go to the beach or the pool during the day at least once. And yeah, I guess besides that, we're just doing lots of that. We're playing. The kids just play and play and play. And everything else, everything's kind of just covered with life, I guess. So I've figured out you can pretty much cover the whole maths curriculum if you involve your kids in shopping and cooking. It basically covers everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they just learn the other stuff as it goes along, kind of like, hey, Mom, what's this shape? Oh, that's a crescent, or that's a pentagon, you know, like they just learn that stuff in just playing. I mean, shapes are everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I don't know what else there is
in kindergarten curriculum. Is, I don't even think they do money yet. Do they do money in kindergarten? I think that's year one.
Possibly. They
maybe like a dollar.
Sure. Yeah, it may be something small. But I guess, yeah, you don't have to. You don't really look at that kind of stuff because you know you're covering it anyway. Like it's, So that's kind of what we did for the first term was just see. I recorded what they were learning. I observed. I looked at what sort of games we were playing, what things they were interested in, and then I kind of reassessed at the end of term one just to figure out if we needed to do anything else more targeted. Were we missing out on anything? And I thought we've sort of did cover everything. Like we just went on so many outings and saw little, you know, covered geography because we're always going to different places. We look at the history of things. I forget what I was saying.
The kindergarten curriculum is pretty much just like geography is like, what country do you live in?
Yeah. It's,
what's the
it's
name
not
of
even,
your town, you know?
Like, it's more about community. It's more about like it's revolving around that kid.
It's at
which
that
is,
micro level, yeah.
They're kind of the subjects that if you're in real life, you don't call it history and geography. You just call it life. You don't call it PDH.
History
you call
is
it
like
life.
Their family, isn't it? Like they're who am I and who's in my family? I actually really like most of the New South Wales curriculum. I find it's very intuitive, very natural sort of what they'd be talking about anyway.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also find like it's more artificial in school because you have to you've taken the child out of their community and family and put them in a classroom that doesn't actually reflect that community. Whereas when you're at home, that whole area of history, geography, etc., of that, you know, who am I, your kid is in that. And so you don't have to
they're living it
about their family because they're with their family. You don't have to give them a talk about police officers because we say hello when we're walking past the cop shop. Like it's they're just there. So
they're immersed in it. Yeah.
Yeah. You would rarely target that kind of a subject at this age because it's the subject. Life is the subject. Yeah. Whereas I did sort of look over what we did and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a little more targeted spelling and a little more maths practice of basic number facts. Because I was like, I think we're missing those two things, so I'm going to put them in. So we did a tiny bit of that, and now I feel like we've got a pretty complete curriculum going. Yeah.
Wow, your youngest must be starting to sleep now because it sounds like you're doing a lot more work.
Oh, yeah. At the end of last year, he started to sort of sleep a bit better, yeah. And, I became alive again. So, yeah, this year's been really lovely.
Good. And you mentioned you're part of a homeschooling community. How important is that to you and your like your kids and your homeschooling?
It's probably more important to me actually than the kids, but
amen.
Yeah, I think it'll become more important to them as they grow up. I think little kids, they sort of do revolve around their family for a while, but certainly becoming more important for the eldest. And yeah, for me, definitely just to have that little group of like-minded people that all have fairly similar ideas and similar struggles and whatnot. It's so great to meet up and just be able to chat. Yeah. And you can get I've never had any sort of negative backlash or anything when I mention homeschooling to anyone, but I guess you can just feel a little like an outsider, and you can't say all your views on the topic when you're talking to someone who has kids at school, because you'll end up offending them even though you don't mean to.
I think that's going to happen with lots of different.
What's that?
It has the possibility of doing that for lots of different topics.
Yeah, a lot of exactly. So I mean, yeah, I so far like I don't. I hope I haven't offended anyone before, but yeah, sometimes you just believe different things, and that's why you've chosen different paths.
Life.
Yeah. What's that?
That's life.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think I think that's one of the good things about the kids to be around us when we have these social interactions, when we have social interactions during the day at the shops, at doctor's appointments, at lots of different things, for them to hear how we do negotiate those conversations with different people in different walks of life. I think that's really important for them to participate in and to listen into. That's if you have sort of nice parents who homeschool. Maybe you have really like really rude people.
That's a very good point though, because that seriously has been a massive focus for me. More like it's much more important to me than getting a curriculum right. It's that home is a peaceful and pleasant place for my kids and that they enjoy it. Because for me, I know that school was an escape, and I'm like, I don't want to homeschool them in a place where they're going to want to get out of. I want homeschool to be a lovely place for them. So, yeah, that has been a focus, actually, of making sure that I am a nice person and a nice example for my kids to follow. Because, yeah, that is what they're going to learn from. That's who they're learning from, yeah. It's a big responsibility.
Can we explore that just a little bit more?
Yeah. The
whole topic of home being a nice place, because for some people, for a lot of people that I've talked to, when I say we homeschool, and some mums or dads say, oh, I could never do that. Like, I would just be so grumpy and I don't have the patience. I don't know what you think. But what's come, is it the chicken or the egg for you? Has it become that you need to be patient in order to homeschool, or has homeschooling helped you be more patient? What's been the evolution for you?
Tricky. It would be both.
Has homeschooling made you more pleasant, or has being pleasant made helped you homeschool?
I think it's made me more aware of my parenting and how I can make home a more pleasant place. But I think also the nature of homeschooling lends itself to making home a more pleasant place, because I think about what the days were like when I sent the two kids to preschool last year, and you get that. You think about the experience you have with your kid in the day. You get the rush in the morning, the yell, hurry up, pack your bag, let's go. You're not doing what I asked. So that's a really stressful hour or two in the morning. And then they get home and they're grumpy and they're tired, and they've been holding in all their frustrations, and they let them out on you. And then you've got the big dinner rush and the annoying bedtime rush because they're not doing what you want, and they're when I think about the good hours I spent with them on the days that they went to preschool, it was not very much. And so I think when I thought about doing a whole week of that, of sending my son to school, and all I would see of him is the big push, 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 I think you could get the idea that your kids are a handful and stressful and annoying, and that you couldn't cope with them if they were at home all the time. But once they are home all the time, you realize that you can, you've got the time to enjoy your kid rather than just this big push. That's, yeah.
I agree with all of that. And the only thing that I would add is homework, because your two were going to preschool. You didn't.
Yeah, we didn't even
homework.
Have that.
Homework is very stressful. Homework to, you know, not just have the rush in the morning, but once you get
and not evidence-based either.
Apparently, it's not required for kindergarten anymore, but they still prefer you to do it.
Yep. Oh, that's just like everything in school. It's like infants were supposed to be for infants, but then they're like, oh, you know, primary school's hard, so let's just make year two a little harder so they're used to ready for year three. And then they're like, oh, well, you know what, year two's pretty hard now, so let's get them ready in year one so they're ready for year two. And now they're like, oh, well, you know what, year one's pretty stressful, so now kindy's got to get them ready. Now they're like, all right, you know what, you're in preschool, let's kindergarten's pretty full on, so let's ramp up what you're doing in daycare. And suddenly you've got like 3-year-olds doing year three work. So that's just how school's kind of gone, I think.
And then you have people with their babies.
Yeah.
Let's start reading now. What letter is this?
Yes. Yeah. But yep. And you do, because like I now talk to people with 18 months old and they're like, yeah, I've put him in daycare just so he gets like socialization. I'm like, you don't need to, but you can. It's not essential. Oh, yeah.
My daughter's trying to talk to me too. She's asking me. She's asking me why the dog's noses are black. It's just our random conversations that we have. She asks me why questions, and I think that's fantastic. If she was in school, A, she wouldn't even be looking at dogs to inspire that question, and B, would the teacher have enough time to answer that question if they were in maths and she asked a science question like that? What response do you think she'd get in the classroom from the teacher?
We're doing maths.
We don't have time for that. Not now. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the answer, but at least we can take the time to Google it, or just to throw out guesses. I don't know.
Oh, so many.
To protect from the sun, maybe. I don't know. You know, let's think about that. But anyway, that's a bit of a sidetrack. This interview's about you. Okay, so how long have we been going for? 42 minutes. Oh, this is fantastic.
Wow.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Okay, so I wanted to ask, I did ask what your homeschooling week looks like, but what would you label your homeschooling style as? Do you have a style? Are you just still kind of coping? Is it still very much just play-based with a bit of curriculum thrown in? Could you call it anything in particular?
I mean, it's all those things you said, but it's yeah, I would say you could call it natural learning ish.
Natural learning ish. I like it.
what the kids are kind of interested in, we do. They ask questions, we answer, we look up stuff. So I guess it's what they're learning naturally, so I guess I'd just call it natural learning,
interest led.
Yes,
with a little bit of
targeted exercises thrown in. Yeah,
awesome. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about what the biggest challenges are with you homeschooling, and this is probably very much particularly because you have 3 young kids. But what would your three top challenges of homeschooling? And I want you to be really, really honest.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, certainly with the 3 young kids and having no family around because we've moved quite far away, And hubby's in a pretty full-on job, so he at least doesn't work weekends anymore, but long hours in the daytime. So definitely I would say the hardest part is getting a break. That's about it. If you wanted me to be really honest, sometimes I like daydream about getting injured and going to the hospital and like having a week stay to myself. Like, it just sounds like heaven to me. So
I love your honesty. Well, let's face it. If you're going to homeschool, you need to set up self-care. You need to know in advance that you are going to need time for yourself.
Yeah, you do. And honestly, sometimes I take a trip to Coles and I go browse the reject shop because they're like the only two shops in town. And I go by myself, and sometimes
don't
I come back.
That really awesome clothing shop next to the reject shop.
I just bought some really cool pants from there. Yes. that's often enough just to like refresh me, and I come home and I'm like, oh yeah, I love my kids again. Like, it's all good. Sometimes I need a bit more. Sometimes I want to like just hibernate for a day in my room, and I really want Jack to just take the kids out of the house. And I can't always get what I want, but I think being honest about and really looking at what how I function the best and planning to put some of those things in motion really helps. And it doesn't just benefit me, it benefits everybody, because then I'm a nicer person for everybody else, and they get more out of me.
Absolutely.
If that happens. And I think massive for homeschooling mums, isn't it? Like, so many homeschooling mums I talk to are struggling with health issues or fatigue or autoimmune issues. It's certainly a big need for homeschool mums to consider, or homeschool dads, whoever's doing the bulk of it.
Yes, that they do need a break, because we're with our kids all the time. And you have to like your kids. In order to homeschool, you really do have to like your kids.
That's right, yeah.
But I think that's going to be the rule. Like, I think most people enjoy their kids.
Yeah, I hope they do.
But I think, again, that's the chicken and the egg rule again, is I think that it does help with bonding. Homeschooling does help with bonding, because you have to learn to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
I think it's very much like a marriage. You can't just rely on you and your partner being away all day and that's how you cope. That's how you make your marriage work, is you both being away for 10 hours a day. You have to, like, if you were the only two people left on the planet and there was no jobs to go off to, you'd have to learn to figure it out. You'd have to learn to get along.
That's right.
So that's why I think that's another way that helps. But yeah. Anyway, okay. Is there any other big challenges that you would say homeschooling? Or is that the biggest one that comes up?
Yeah, I guess the other ones are kind of related. Like, I've got fairly low energy, so I suppose sometimes just like giving myself a kick to get up is hard. I was pretty tired by November.
Yeah, that's like, good. That's why homeschooling is good, because the kids can kind of fend for themselves while you sleep in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they can.
There's no rush to get them off to school. So again, that's a perk.
Yeah, yeah.
But energy, I think, is a big one. I suffer with that too. It's the energy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I've got to get a lesson together and I just want to sit and have some tea.
Yeah. Or it's not even like, particularly if you're not even doing lessons as such, but it's just that sometimes you really got to drag yourself out just so that you can be involved with your kids, because if there is no set lesson, the way they're learning is by you being present and involving yourself in what they're doing. For a lot of the day, when they ask a question, you have to actually be available to do something. When they want to do a project, you have to be available to kind of help them get that going.
Yeah. So, or if they want access to paints or chalk.
Exactly. Or, yes.
You know,
yes.
Paper. Yeah. Can you print this off for me? I want to do this colouring in. Can you get it on the internet for
me?
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So being like, being,
I guess motivated
to be available. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the best parts? What would be your like top three-ish best things about homeschooling? Because I think we've covered a lot of them. A lot of
top
them
top three. I mean, top one, I reckon, just that like not being locked into that school routine. So like that, seriously, probably the 8 a.m. wake ups is like my top positive. Love it. And I know that's not a very like emotional, lovey-dovey kind of one, but seriously, it's probably my favorite.
I'm smiling because it is mine too. I'm like, yeah, I'm just smiling because I'm like, yeah, I agree, totally.
Yeah. One of the other ones, I guess, like I said, you know, like my – with the babies and stuff, I feel like that, like I just didn't get to know my eldest very well. Like he sort of just had to do a lot of things on his own, and then with his little sister as well, while I was taking care of the third. And by the time it was kindergarten time, I was just like, oh my goodness, like I've just got, you know, I'm just sort of emerging out of the baby haze, and I've just got the time to get to know him properly, and now I'm going to send him to school for 5 days a week. And I just didn't feel ready for that. And I read all the, you know, the Facebook teary mum saying goodbye, and then the stories later on of the kindergarten kids crying because they were sick of it after 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like super happy that we are not doing that. And, yeah, I just think sometimes – sometimes some kids are ready at that age, and there's, I think there's heaps that aren't, and heaps of parents that aren't ready to let go yet. And I'm like, you don't have to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And it's great.
No, I really think the chances are quite low of your child needing therapy because they spent a little bit more time to you in their very young, you know, with you in their childhood.
Yeah.
I just finished a unit on social psychology, mm-hmm. and it was saying that one of the best predictors of mental health in adulthood is attachment.
Wow. Yeah.
That's one of the best, absolutely one of the best predictors of good mental health as an adult is good parental attachment in childhood.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so last question. What advice would you give to someone who's considering homeschool?
Be flexible. Be open to change. If something doesn't work, try something else because there's so many things to try. You know, some kids actually love a kind of rigid routine, and that's fine. And if that works, do it, but just don't bog yourself down in something if it's not working. That's worked for me. Yeah,
absolutely. There's so many different styles.
That's right.
Styles of homeschooling.
And yeah,
you will find your niche. And there's so many, like, I mean, we're so lucky that we have our homeschooling networks, we have Facebook, we have the internet. There's just so much advice out there.
Yeah, these days it's wonderful, isn't it? Like, it's, I think probably back 40 years it'd be a bit harder to find the people in your area and that kind of thing, but it's all around you now.
Yep. Very easy to feel connected. Well, not very easy to feel connected. Sometimes homeschooling can feel quite isolating, I think, because you're just like,
oh, you can, yeah,
the only adult in the home with your thoughts, and you're like, this is good, but it just can feel sort of like endless sometimes. Like, I'm just doing this day after day after day for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely have to put like some of your ambitions and your career, et cetera, on to hold. Some people can make it work. Some people can work from home and share the homeschooling, and that's awesome. But it hasn't, like, I haven't found a lot of people who can do that. So it does
take, I don't think I could,
some sacrifice in one way or another. Yeah.
I have to say, I've never been a very career oriented person. Like, I've never really wanted a career, but I have never felt so fulfilled as a homeschooling mum. Compared to anything else, like, it's, if I was going to pick a career, this one is sort of something that suits me pretty well. So it feels like a career, even though I'm not making money. Yeah.
But you also have other things in your life as well. It's not like you're just a homeschooling mum and that's it.
You
have your church group, yeah. You have social groups, which are also really important.
Yeah, that's right. And I've got so many things I like to do, like painting and writing and all sorts of other things that I think is the reason I do feel so fulfilled, because it's like I can do all these things that I like, and then I can also show my kids how to do all these things that I like. And I can also help my kids figure out what they like, and it's all really happy sort of situation.
And I think it's really valuable for them to see that you don't paint for a career. You don't paint to make money. You do these things because you enjoy them.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for telling us a little bit about your hobbies. And do you do anything else? So you paint, you write, what else do you like to do? I mean, that's pretty, okay. I mean, that's a lot already. Three young kids.
I'm just going to the
writing and painting.
I like maths, logic, puzzles. I don't know. I just like a bit of everything. I just have a little spurt of something here and there and get into it for a while and then get into something else. So I'm a bit all over the place. Yeah,
and you live by the beach as well, so you must enjoy nature and
cool. Very much.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you, Louise. Thank you. Thanks for being willing.
Hope it was all right.
It was awesome. Thanks heaps.